Good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. I have the opportunity to share what God has laid on my heart. I do hate the circumstance that has led me to fill this pulpit today, but I am thankful that Jack is at home, that he's resting and recovering. So please do continue to be praying for our pastor during this time. As Tony said, he does not like sitting still. And so even though he's at home and he's resting his body, he's not resting his mind. He has been hard at work, continuing to plan things for the Christmas season. He texted me yesterday and told me that he's really been working on the Advent devotions. And so make sure that when we give those out, make sure you grab one of those. I know that Jack's put a lot of time and attention into revamping those for this year, and that's going to be a blessing on your life. So please grab one of those when they come out. But do, just be praying for Jack. And for Kim, pray that he will do what he needs to do to be able to recover and come back to us. In case you did not know, we have officially entered into the holiday season. In fact, we have the opportunity to celebrate a nationwide holiday this Thursday called Thanksgiving. And you know, every year this time rolls around, Thanksgiving rolls around, and we're all encouraged to be thankful. I think both Christians and non-Christians accept this theme of be thankful for the things that we have. And then you come to church and the pastor standing behind the pulpit tells you that not only should you be thankful for the things that you have, but you should also try to point your hearts and minds towards giving thanks to God. And it becomes this kind of, I'm sorry, this thing is going to just bug me. Go ahead and deal with it. It did in the early service. It's going to bug me this one too. Sorry about that. I do not like this thing. It becomes this mundane thing. It really does. It's this routine thing that during this time of the year, we're expected to be thankful. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm really not. Like, I don't know, just I look at my life, things really aren't going that great right now, and I just don't feel that thankful. I'm not getting along with my wife or husband or my parents. We don't have a lot of money right now. Work is killing me, or if you're a student and you say, oh, school is killing me. A loved one is sick, or maybe a loved one has just recently passed away. Or even the simple things in life, like the Panthers just got destroyed by the Steelers. Or, man, why is Ryan preaching this morning? I don't want to have to hear him. And he keeps on touching his ear in that microphone, right? Like, what in the world do I have to be thankful for? And if that's you, I get it. I mean, I really do. Sometimes life can be hard. And it's extremely difficult for us to be thankful during those times because sometimes life just has you caught in a rut. You know, it's easier said than done. But this morning, I want to encourage you and challenge you to shift the way that you think. I do want to be that guy standing behind the pulpit telling you and encouraging you to point your heart and mind towards giving thanks to God, even in the midst of suffering, even if things aren't going your way. So this morning I would like to go to Scripture and allow Scripture to guide our discussion. We're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. And so if you would go ahead and turn with me there this morning, and I'm going to, as you do that, go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to bless this time this morning to allow us to shift our minds. So if you would, just pray with me now. Dear Father, I want to come to you this morning. And first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together, to gather with one another, to fellowship with one another, but to open up your word and to be able to learn more about you, Lord, to be challenged by what the Scripture says, Lord. I pray that every individual in this room today will walk out of here challenged and convicted, eager to be more thankful for the things that they have, Lord. Bless this time this morning. It's your name I pray. Amen. Now, a little background information on this book before we get started. Philippians is actually a letter. It's written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi while Paul was in prison in Rome. And if you read the first chapter of Philippians, you're told that the church at Philippi had actually sent a man named Epaphroditus to Paul to talk with him and see how life was going, but also to give them to give him a gift from the church. And so that happens. They talk, and then Paul sends this letter, the book of Philippians, back with Epaphroditus to give to the church at Philippi. And so when we read that this morning, keep that in mind, that this is a letter from Paul. It's a letter written to a church. And so it was written to the church of Philippi, but it can almost be like it was written to Calvary Baptist Church. And so consider that this morning when we're reading this text. It says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, the Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." So as we quickly approach this day of thanks, this holiday called Thanksgiving, how do we approach being true, genuine, thankful people? And when we say prayers like, "God, I am thankful for X, Y, Z," we need our lips to match our hearts, right? Instead of just saying empty words that don't mean anything, how can we truly be thankful? How do we get our hearts right and thankful when we're really not? All right, I'm going to have to do something. I'm sorry. I'm going to take this off. Does that work? Can y'all hear me? Great. This thing is here for a reason, so sorry. I can't do this. All right. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to preach from the podium. But seriously, how do we get our hearts right when we know we're really not that thankful? We just want to say it. How do we get ourselves thankful? I think that we get a good life lesson here from Paul when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. And I want to look at three things from this passage this morning that will hopefully help us shift the way that we think and get our hearts and minds pointed towards giving thanks to God. And so the first thing that I think I can draw from this text comes out of verses 11 through 13, and that is to be content. Paul is telling us that we need to be content. Even in if our circumstances aren't great, we need to be content with what God has given us. Paul writes here that as he learned to be just as content with having a little as if he had a lot. Whether he has food on the table or not, he is content. Now, I don't know about you, but if life is not going my way, it's hard for me to be content. If you're struggling with work, or if you're in an argument with your spouse, or you're struggling to get the bills paid, you're fighting through emotions of a loved one being sick, or even a loved one passing away, or honestly, even fighting through the emotions of what just happened with Pastor Jack. It's hard to be content when life is not going your way. And yet Paul claims that he has the ability to be content regardless of any circumstance. Think about that, and think about your life. You have the ability to be content regardless of any circumstance. How? How could Paul? Well, it's because of what he says here in verse 13. In verse 13, he says that he can do everything through Christ who gives him strength. You ever heard that verse before? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture
about the strength that Jesus provides for us. And it's used all the time. Athletes like Steph Curry actually have it put on their shoe. I talked about that with the youth a couple weeks ago. Steph Curry had that verse put on his custom-made shoe. You have athletes like Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, everyone knows who Tim Tebow is. He would put John 3:16 and Philippians 4:13 on his eye black before he played in a football game. John Jones is a famous UFC fighter. He actually had it tattooed on his chest. Then like me, I would tape my wrist before a baseball game, and then I would write Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, before every baseball game. People love to use the verse. It's one of the most widely quoted scriptures. It's also probably one of the most misquoted scriptures. You see, many people, including athletes, tend to think that this verse talks about how it can help you get what you want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the secret to winning a game, the secret to winning the championship, or even the secret to gaining actual physical strength. I can do all things. I can succeed. I can win. I can do it all as long as I trust God because He gives me the strength. And that's a good thought, but it's not what Paul's saying. This verse isn't telling you how to win. It's telling you it doesn't matter if you win or if you lose. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It doesn't matter if life is going great or if life is going extremely bad. It does not matter the circumstance. Because you can do all things through Christ. Because Christ is what gives you the strength. Paul was in prison in Rome, awaiting his execution. His life was not winning. He was not winning. He was very much losing. But he was strong. And he knew that he had that strength because of God. Because of Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. That's where God wants us to be. We should be so reliant and dependent on Christ for our strength that we can be content with whatever circumstances we are in, whatever is going on in our life. We are content because we know that we have the strength from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Warren Wiersbe's commentary on the book of Philippians called Be Joyful, he talks about how there are two people in this world. He says one person is like a thermometer. The second person is like a thermostat. You see, a thermometer, it doesn't change anything around it. Think about that. It doesn't change anything around it. It just registers the temperature. In fact, the thermometer is the thing that changes. It goes up and down based on the situation, based on the circumstance, right? But now a thermostat regulates the surroundings and changes them when they need to be changed. And Paul was telling, and is still telling us, to be a thermostat. We don't need to let circumstances change us to affect us, but we need to be the thing that changes the circumstance. Whatever is going on in your life, we must be content with what we have and continue to push forward because once again, Jesus Christ gives us the strength. Which brings us to the second thing that I think that we can learn from this text this morning, and that is that we should be physically and vocally thankful. We should be physically and vocally thankful. What exactly do I mean by that? I mean that we should purposefully consider what blessings we have and acknowledge what we have. It's not just a feeling, hey, I'm thankful. No, that's not okay. We need to vocalize what we are thankful for. How many of you have heard the song, Count Your Many Blessings? Anyone heard that song, Count Your Many Blessings? All right, this is going to be good, but it kind of goes like this. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And I sang that in the early service, and I admitted, look, that doesn't sound good, but the words are what matter. And those words are huge. Count your blessings. Name them. And acknowledge the fact that God is the one doing it. Count your blessings. Do you? Do you count your blessings? Do you talk about what you were thankful for? You know, people struggle with that. They do. Count your blessings. Now, What if I change the words? Count your aggravations, name them one by one. Well, then people are eager to pull out a pen and notebook and write them all down and say, look, this is going to be a long list, so get ready. Right? It's easy. It's easy to count your aggravations. People are quick to do it. It's not hard to complain. Think about this. Oh, my goodness. Work was so long today, and my boss's breath smells terrible. Right? Or how about, why is there always traffic every time I drive? I swear, my wife, she can get in the car, and there's just clear roads, but as soon as I'm driving, back-to-back traffic the whole time. Can't stand it. Or, why do the Panthers have to have Cam Newton as their quarterback? Why can't we have a good quarterback like Big Ben from the Steelers? Now, if Jack was here, he would love me, for that was an honor of him. But this one's my favorite, because this one really applies to me. And that is this. I swear, I always get in the longest line every time I go to the grocery store. Every time. It's inevitable. It doesn't matter when I go. I get in the longest line. I can't stand it. And this, again, this happens to me. The other day, I was getting pumpkins for the youth party. I'd already gotten a lot. All I had to do was go get one more. And so I go, and I look for the lines, and there's one line with this one lady in it. All she was doing was buying a bag of candy. That's it. So I'm like, okay, this will be a quick line. So I walk up. I didn't know that she had already bought like $50 worth of stuff that was already in the grocery bag. And she was buying that like before she bought the candy. And so she rung it all up, said, okay, it's going to be $50-something. She goes, okay, cool. She swiped a card. Didn't work. She swiped a second card. Didn't work. Swiped a third card. Finally, it worked. Congratulations. She got the receipt, talked about all her rewards, how much money she saved, stuff like that. And she goes, okay, now I want to buy the candy. Okay. She pulls out a $100 bill to buy the candy. And I'm like, lady, it took you three cards to buy that stuff. Why'd you not just buy it all with the $100 bill? And then when she pays with the $100 bill, she says, now, can I get specific change? I'd like two 20s and one 10 and six fives and 16 ones, please. Oh, and you can keep the cent. I'm like, are you kidding me? So you're taking all this time and now you want like the exact change? Just take your money and go. All I want to do is buy a pumpkin. Right? So I feel you, and it's easy to complain because I left that store. I called him, and I said, you wouldn't believe it happened again. I probably got here. I don't even know if I told the youth that, but I was annoyed. It's easy to complain. It is easy to count your aggravations. It is. But, you know, if you go back to Scripture this morning and the text that we're looking at, even though Paul's circumstances weren't exactly the best, and even though he didn't get everything that he wanted, Paul is still vocally thankful. I mean, he's thankful. Remember, he is in prison in Rome awaiting his execution. And instead of complaining about his life and what's going on, he's writing a letter about how joyful he is because of this church and because of what this church is doing for him. He's joyful. In verse 15, it says that the church at Philippi was the only church that supported him, the only one that gave him anything. I mean, would Paul have wanted help from other churches? Of course he would. But was he still thankful even though he didn't get help but from one of them? Yes, he was. Paul could have easily talked about his aggravations. He could have easily talked about how annoyed he was. But you didn't hear him talking about the other churches and how they weren't helping. What you did hear is how he was praising the one that did. Paul was counting his blessings. He was vocally thankful for what he did have. How often are we thankful for what we have, even if it's not everything we want? I mean, think about this. I mean, ask yourself this. How many of you get your paycheck every single month, right on time? You get it every month, but you got mad because you didn't get that bonus that you were hoping for. How many of you remember getting presents as a kid, and you got a lot of them, but you got upset because you didn't get that one present that you wanted? Or how about your spouse cleans the entire house, but you can't focus on that. You can't thank them for that because you're just focused on the fact that they forgot to go to the grocery store. Right? Or you remember last Thanksgiving when you got the opportunity to see your family and enjoy time with them, but you were too focused on the fact that one cousin you can't stand came and ruined it for everyone else. Right? Even though you get something you want, even though you have good, are you truly thankful? Or are you too busy counting your aggravations? We need to be thankful for what we have, for what God has given to us, even if it's not necessarily everything that we want. Because honestly, everything you have belongs to God anyways. Amen. And truthfully, it could be worse. I want to take the time to share with you the life of two friends of mine. Now, I'm not going to share with you their names, but these are two guys that I've known for a long time, very, very good friends, older than me. They've impacted my life in many, many ways. Coached some of my ball for me, taught Sunday school, you know, when I was growing up. So these guys mean a lot to me, but they've had it rough. I want to share with you just some things that are going on in their life. I'll call them Friend 1 and Friend 2. Now, Friend 1, he met a girl. He fell in love, got married. They had two children, a boy and a girl, had a dog, a house, a nice job. He had the American dream. He really did. And then one day his wife woke up, decided, I'm done with this. I don't like it. I'm gone. And she left him. She left the house. She left her children. And she moved on very, very quickly. It shattered him, broke his heart. He was left with a decision. To sit and whine and complain about the life that he had now been given, or to be content, to trust God, to trust that Jesus Christ would give him the strength, and to be thankful for what he did have. And so Friend 1 made the decision to wake up every single day, and he still does it till this day, to wake up every day, to cook his kids breakfast, to make their lunch, to take them to school, to pick them up from school, to take the boy to karate practice, the girl to dance, makes the decision to coach their sports teams. He also makes the decision on every Sunday to bring them to church. He's got his boy in one hand. He's got his daughter walking beside him, holding her hand. What he is, he's a good father and a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him. He was dealt a bad hand. He has bad circumstances going on in his life, but he didn't let it defeat him. He's not counting his aggravations. He's counting his blessings. He's constantly reminding himself of how thankful he is for the young boy and the young girl that he has, for the church family that has loved him and supported him and helped him along the way. He's content and he's thankful. Friend 2, he's an older man, married, father of two, business owner, deacon, taught Sunday school, like I said. Great man. I mean, just a fantastic man. He's a huge giver, gave to the church. And then he became a Job. And what I mean by that is, first, his son was killed in a tragic accident. Very, very tragic. And he was involved in it. And then his daughter-in-law was killed in a tragic accident. Then he lost his business because of a flood. And then his wife died of cancer. And then he had a stroke. And as things piled up and continued to pile up and nothing seemed to get better, he had all these bills to pay. He lost a lot of his money, never got his business back. But yet he still is faithful to God, faithful to the church, still serves, still teaches, still a fantastic guy with the heart to serve people and to let them know that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ gives them the strength. That man had the opportunity to be defeated, to say, you know what, you win. But he trusts in Jesus Christ. He said, you know what, I'm going to be content with the life that you have given me, Lord. I know that you give me the strength through every single circumstance. And I'm going to be thankful for what I do have. I'm going to be thankful for the son that I still have, for the grandchildren that I have, for the church family that has loved me and supported me and helped guide me through this time. I'm going to be thankful, Jesus. And you know what? Both of these people, this isn't a one-time decision. This is every single day. Listen, every single day, when this father, the single father, wakes up, he has 18 places to be at once but has to choose one. Or when he has to make the decision to eat a peanut butter sandwich and some carrots so that he can pay for his kids to go to karate and dance. That's a choice. It's a choice to allow himself to get down or to allow yourself to count your blessings and to continue to walk in the Lord and to trust him and be thankful. Listen, friend two, every single day he wakes up without one of his sons, without his daughter-in-law, without his wife, and honestly, even without his business. But he makes the decision to continue to trust God, continue to allow God to give him the strength, and to be thankful again for what he does have. It is an everyday decision that they make. Now let me ask you, can you say the same thing about yourself? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what struggles are coming your way. But are you counting your blessings? Are you thankful for what you do have? Do you strive to be physically and vocally thankful for what God has given you? Once again, I know it's easier said than done. It's natural to focus on the bad. It is. But we must consciously and continuously remind ourselves to focus on the good. Right before this text that we read this morning, in Philippians 4:8, Paul says this. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." What is Paul saying here? He is telling us that there are all kinds of things to focus our minds on. All kinds of things you can think about. You can think about the negatives because they're there. And they're going to continue to be there. They're going to continue to happen. But you can also focus on the good. You can take the bad things and you can erase them. Now, I use Chip Sloan's illustrations all the time when I preach. I love Chip Sloan. I love listening to him. And so he's used this illustration a lot. So I'm going to give him credit. But I'm still going to use it this morning. I'm going to steal it from him. And he uses this illustration where he talks about how back in the day, when you would take photos, you would take photos and you'd have to go get your photos developed and you'd have to pay for all the photos. Even if like majority of them were bad, you still have to pay for them because you got them all developed and you took them. And then as time went on, you got to the point where you would go and get your photos developed and you could sort through the ones you liked, keep them, pay for them, and you would throw away the ones that you didn't like, right? And now, we live in 2018, what is this right here? It's a cell phone, right? But it's not just a phone. It's a really, really good camera, right? So now we can take photos with this thing right here. You can take like 1,000 in like 5 minutes and then immediately start sorting through them. I like this one, saved. I like this one, saved. Save, save, delete, 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 delete. And you can just decide which ones you want to keep and which ones you want to delete. Well, listen to me, church. Listen to me. In regards to life, delete the things not worthy of being remembered. But the good things, you store in your memory and you focus on them and you never forget them. Focus on the good and give thanks for them. Stop saving all these pictures that you don't want to look at and focus on the ones that you do. Because if you do that, if you focus on the good, then you'll realize that there are some things in this life that you can be thankful for. I love that illustration. I really do, because we are all the time focusing on the bad. But why? I mean, why would you take all these photos and hate them all, but then save them and reflect on them? You wouldn't do that. So why do we do that in life? Focus your attention on the good. Now listen, some of you in here might say, "No, listen, Ryan, I've looked. I ain't got no good photos. I'm sorry. I've sorted through all of them, and all I want to do is delete them all. I got nothing good going on in my life right now." If that's you, let me tell you this. If you got Jesus Christ, you have a future. Jesus Christ has given you a future. Which brings me to our third and final point, and that is to point our hearts and minds towards giving thanks to God. We must also be confident. We can find this in verse 19. We are to be confident. Paul tells us here in verse 19 that as a believer, God will supply every need of yours. Just like God met Paul's need in the work of the gospel, he tells the church at Philippi that he will meet their needs. So Calvary, listen to me. As a group and as individuals, he's going to meet your needs. If you know Jesus Christ, he's going to meet them. You have a future because of him. This promise is speaking to those who are actively supporting the work of the Lord. As we seek to serve God and to give him glory for the advancement of his kingdom, he is going to bless us beyond measure. Talking about, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. There's nothing good in my life. There's no pictures worth saving. Jesus Christ is enough. He is enough. And because of him, and because of his love for you, and because of his sacrifice given to you, it doesn't matter what's going on now. You know that your future is secure in him. This reminds me of a passage, Matthew 6:26, which says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" We worry so much sometimes about the things that we have, about what's going on, what we have or don't have, but why? Why do we focus on the bad? We can be confident that God, the God that loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, we can be confident that he is going to take care of us. You know, so often we really do take for granted the things that God has done for us and he's given for us. So what do we have to be thankful for during this holiday season and honestly during every single day of our lives? We can be thankful for a God who is patient. We can be thankful for a God who still loves us unconditionally despite the fact that we reject him time and time again. We can be thankful for a God who gives us the strength through everything we do because of his son, Jesus Christ. We can be confident in that. We can be thankful for God who will always provide for us. A God that according to his riches and glory will provide every single thing we need in this life and more. We can be thankful for a God who doesn't require us to jump through spiritual hoops. But according to Scripture, Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we can believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead, then we will be saved. We can be thankful for that truth. So church, this Thanksgiving and every single day as you walk through life, be content with what God has given you. In every single circumstance, remind yourself that he is what gives you the strength. My life is terrible right now, but I don't care because I got faith in Jesus Christ. And he's going to walk me through this storm. Be content with what God has given you. Be thankful, even if you don't have every single thing you want. Be thankful. Because once again, your life could be worse. But you also know you got Jesus Christ and he's enough. Be confident. Be confident that God will meet all your needs. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not these things because you don't feel like you have a relationship with him, I beg you, don't leave here today without getting to know him. Don't leave here today without getting to know his love. Because I'm telling you right now, if you have Jesus Christ, then you can be content, you can be thankful, you can be confident. I urge you, come speak with me, come speak with Tony. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. If you do know Jesus, but you feel like you really have been thankful, then shift your mind today. Focus your heart and your mind on giving thanks to God. Because if you have Jesus Christ, you have something to be thankful for. Here in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I've challenged you this morning to shift the way you think. And I truly hope you do that. That you do try to intentionally focus your heart and mind on giving thanks to God. And not just internally, but I hope you vocally give thanks to what you have. Today is a time to respond. If you need a place to pray, the altar will be open. Come, pour out your heart to God. Speak with him. Thank him. Tony and I will also be up here. If you need someone to talk to, please, I urge you, come talk to us. But don't let today pass you by. Don't walk away and say, I'll worry about it tomorrow. Once this one thing passes, then I'll be thankful. No, handle it today. Walk out of here today. Accepting the fact that you're going to be content, accepting the fact that you're going to be thankful, accepting the fact that you're going to be confident in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because once again, you got stuff to be thankful for, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, once again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the opportunity to get into your word, to be challenged. But I want to thank you for everything that you have done in my life and everything that you will continue to do in my life. And I pray for every single individual in this room today. I pray that they will know that and be confident in that, God. Life is hard. Life sometimes gets you down, but you lift us up, God. I pray that they will all feel that. Feel your presence. Feel your love. It's in your name I pray. Amen.